Free Run Beyond Journey End came out at the end of 2023, and in just a few months, it has divided the internet. On one side, everyone says that Free Run Beyond Journey's End is breathtaking, captivating, mesmerizing. The characters are relatable and lovable. The story is cozy and warm and exciting. Meanwhile, the other side says it's slow and boring, and the animation is drab, and the characters more so. I can see how, in comparison to a lot of the shows that are coming out now, Free Run Beyond Journey's End may seem boring. However, I think there is something beautiful about a quote-unquote boring anime. This podcast is not a video essay. It should feel like two besties on FaceTime just talking about what they think is so amazing about the anime they're watching. I will be talking about anime that made me go, wow, that was so sugoi. With all that being said, let's talk about today's anime, which is Free Run Beyond Journey's End. If you have not watched it yet, I definitely recommend going and watching it and then coming back and listening to this episode. There will be spoilers. This is a spoiler warning. Before you go, let me give you a bit of the plot. That way you know what to prepare for. A lot of people are, especially on Twitter, that are saying that it's a romance. It may have romantic elements, but it's not a romance anime. Here's what it's about. This is the synopsis that is on myanimelist.net. During the decade-long quest to defeat the Demon King, members of the hero's party, Himmel, the hero, the priest Heiter, the dwarf warrior Aizen, and the elven mage Freerun forge bonds through adventure, battles, creating unforgettable, precious moments. However, the time Freerun spends with her comrades is equivalent to a mere fraction of her life, which has lasted over 1,000 years. When the party disbands after victory, Freerun casually returns to her, quote, usual routine of collecting spells across the continent. Due to her different sense of time, she seemingly holds no strong feelings towards the experience that she went through. As years pass, Freerun gradually realizes her years in the Hero's Party truly impacted her. Although the days with the Hero's Party have long ended, a new tale is about to begin. That's the official synopsis, paraphrased more or less, but my explanation, my pitch to get people to watch Freerun is a little bit different. I say Freerun is an anime about the importance of letting loved ones know they're loved and treasuring the bonds of people. Sometimes there's not a whole lot going on, but when something happens, you will stare in awe of its beauty. Freerun, it's such a tranquil anime that has scattered amounts of the best action that you will watch nowadays. And this may be a hot take. I know it's a hot take. But genuinely, the animation, the fight sequences, the choreography, just the creativity behind it, I think Freerun did that, all of that, better than a lot of the big shonen that we're seeing right now. Freerun is, I believe, let me look it up right now. I'm pretty sure it's a shonen, if not a seinen. Yeah, it's a shonen. So I think Freerun is doing better animation in the action shonen realm than a lot of stuff we've seen lately. I definitely enjoyed it visually a lot more than Jujutsu Kaisen season 2. I know that's blasphemy in some parts of the internet, but I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm not afraid to say it. Freerun was visually more pleasing than a lot of the shonen I've seen as of late. I don't like it just for the visuals, but I think it would be ignorant to say, oh, I don't watch anime, which is animation, for the visuals. Make that make sense. Of course I want it to look pretty. Anywho, I don't want to get like too much into all of that. Let's go into the characters, because the characters are really what makes and breaks a show. And Freerun, yes, Freerun, of course, being the main character, is one of the most popular characters. It's the most liked character. But the side characters, the supporting characters, are so endearing. You can easily become obsessed with any of them. Any of them. It's so great. In second place for my favorite character is definitely Fern. She is an angry teenage girl that is super caring and maybe a little stressed because she has to travel with Frieren, and it's okay. It's okay that she's a little angry and she pouts, and sometimes she doesn't say exactly what's bothering her, because this show is about humanity and it's about what makes you human and the relationships and the bonds and the communication between people. So having a character that may need to work on her communication and work on herself is okay. You might actually be surprised how many people dislike Fern. I've seen a lot of stuff online saying that she just gets angry for no reason and she's so disagreeable. But newsflash, bucko, people in real life are disagreeable. Most people don't agree with most people. It's almost like that is the bane of humanity's existence. So I think we should look at why Fern is so frustrated. Imagine being a kid, right? So young teenager to your late teens, and you have to travel with an elven mage with no concept of time, who also canonically lacks empathy. I know Fern was stressed. I know she was going through it. There was a time where I think Frieren was like, oh, Fern, this is a nice little town. Let's stay here for 30 years. One thing I will point out that I think a lot of people do forget is that she likes seeing her master gush and ooh and ah over every bit of magical something that they find. And she is maybe annoyed at Stark's continuous cowardness, but it isn't a reason why she dislikes him. My third favorite character, obviously, is Stark. I love him so much. And I do realize I didn't mention my favorite character, but obviously it's Frieren. We'll get there in a second. I love Stark. I love that he's on this journey from boyhood to manhood. I love that he is scared. I know we don't want to talk about other people's opinions because you and me, bestie, we're in our own little bubble. But a lot of people don't like it when characters in these action adventure shows are scared. But let's be so serious. If you were 16 and told you how to fight a dragon, you would be screaming like Zenitsu from Demon Slayer 2. He is scared often, and rightfully so. I forget what piece of media it was, but I remember this. Maybe it was Avatar: The Last Airbender. When it was Aang and Katara getting caught up in bending mischief, and Sokka was just like, why am I always pulled into this magic hands, magic people nonsense? That's Stark. He has an axe. Why is he fighting alongside one of the strongest mages of any time and potentially one of the strongest mages of his time? He's a regular civilian. Too often, the overpowered traits go to the Megumis, the Itadoris, the Gojos. But here, it's given to Fern and Frieren. Stark had one easy win while he was fighting the dragon, but after that, I mean, he almost got cut in half fighting that one demon that could mimic his sensei. I know he did not sign up for this lifestyle. Obviously, my favorite character is Frieren. Frieren is adorable. I could just pinch her little cheeks. I know she's like definitely giving grown woman, especially in English. If y'all have not watched it in English, watch it. It's so good. The first half of Frieren, I think, is where a lot of people have their most ill-placed critiques, if that is what I can call them. Frieren Beyond Journey's End is not a boring anime. It's not. I said it once and I'll say it again. It is like watching a babbling brook in the countryside. Just sit and watch it be beautiful. Please, you'll be rewarded with magic in a second. But can you just listen to the babbling brook? Can you? Not everything is going to be Attack on Hell's Paradise Chainsaw Man. There is a lot of good setup that happens in the first half. I do want to talk about that. I love the Stark and Fern pairing and how it's, I don't know if I can call it symbolic, but it's showing what Himmel and Frieren could have been if Frieren wasn't an elf. Fern and Stark kind of understand the tension. I'm not saying like sexual tension, romantic tension, just tension in general with one another. The good and the bad times that Fern and Stark have, I think, are so appropriate for where they are in life, so appropriate for their age, and so appropriate for their personality. Oh my word. Fern getting scared when Stark puts his hand on her is so relatable as a girly bop. Listen, I'm 6 foot tall. I am not a small girl. But sometimes a man will man a little too hard around me and I'm like, oh my. And then imagine that, but you're 17 and you don't have the right vernacular to properly explain why that was a no-no, Stark. Don't do that. Stern isn't mad or ever grumpy at him for being flawed, for him being scared, for him being a bit of a coward. If she's ever frustrated, it's because of a miscommunication or a lack of understanding on both of their parts. Teenage stuff, right? And poor Stark, he kind of knows what's going on, but at the same time, he doesn't get it. Like, wait, no, it's so bad. Stark would definitely be like, but I'm not like other guys. Fern just catches him at bad moments. And I say this with two scenes in mind. There was the scene where Stark offered to carry Frieren and Fern was just like, no, which I totally get it, girly. And I just know right then and there, Stark was just like, he knows I'm not like other men. I just know his poor feelings were hurt. He probably didn't pick it up in the moment, but like definitely in the middle of night, he was just like, dang, she really thinks I'm nasty. And then when he was looking at the clouds, and he was thinking, oh, those clouds. I think he was thinking the clouds look like boobs or something. That wasn't his normal thought process. He doesn't think that all the time. But again, Fern caught him and it's like, oh no, another awkward moment. Stark having to explain himself. It's cute. The tension, the awkwardness is cute. And you wonder if Frieren wasn't an elf, would she have had the same awkward moments with Himmel? Would she have been uncomfortable occasionally around him? Would she have gotten frustrated at misunderstandings? I don't know. We spend a good chunk of the first half of the series thinking, oh, Himmel was such a great friend. They were great friends. And then the ring scene. Frieren, sweetheart, y'all are engaged. That is your husband. You are a wife. What? Not actually, obviously, it's not canon, but like, he got down on one knee and handed you a ring, girl, and you telling the story like he was a good friend. He was two steps away from being a lover. Goodness gracious. Frieren, please, girl, please. Although she may not be the most reliable storyteller, I appreciate them using her as a storyteller for us to learn about the Heroes Party, to learn what they go through so that the audience can figure out how the current party, Fern, Stark, Frieren, will overcome any challenge they get caught up in. For example, the tournament arc, which, can I just say, Frieren having a tournament arc really cemented it as that show, that anime. Every anime with a tournament arc knows what they're doing, okay? If you have a magic system, you need a tournament arc. I know some people are going to be like, oh, that's not a tournament arc. It was a tournament arc. It was giving tuning exams. It was giving leveling up. It was giving gotta train quick. I really enjoyed how they took this opportunity to help flesh out the magic system a little bit. Frieren isn't actually that strong. She's not that overpowered. In the first half of the series, we're kind of missing something to compare Frieren to. But you take her, you put her in a tournament arc. Now, all of a sudden, there's a whole bunch of people for her to compare to. And the only variable that separates her from everyone else is the time she's been alive. Normally, with a magic system as soft as the one in Frieren, there is no comparison between characters. We can't compare magic wielders. But after watching the tournament arc and seeing Frieren fight with other mages against other mages, we realize that her strongest strong suit is her age and the time she spent quote unquote training, because she doesn't really train. Frieren is someone who just so happened to learn magic, who just so happened to be an elf and have a long life. She's not training to fight the Demon King. She's really just picking up spells and tips and tricks as a hobby. Evidence of this is seen in her fatal flaw that we find out towards the end of the tournament arc when they have to go against Frieren's clone. Everyone sitting here, you know, us and the people in the show are just like, oh my gosh, how could we beat Frieren, the mage who fought the Demon King? What can we do? Fern's like, oh, she has a weakness. She has a weakness that's elementary, rudimentary, such a basic weakness that the characters in the show, as well as us, were like, what? How could someone who has lived as long as Frieren have such a rookie flaw? But it makes sense. It makes sense given her personality. It seems like magic is very personal. It is your personal imagination that allows you to visualize controlling the rain, cutting something that is uncuttable. So because the magic system is so personal, of course, Frieren's fatal flaw would be something tied to her identity and personality. Her one weakness is that when she is casting a spell, she stops detecting mana. Again, that's something that only someone who really knows Frieren would know. And I really feel like it drives home a theme in the show, a theme of relationships, of getting to know people, of knowing your loved ones on a deep level. The biggest problem in the show is solved because Fern knows Frieren. Oh my goodness, guys, that is just so, like, my heart literally just somersaults. The fact that Frieren starts the show crying because it was only 10 years with him. It was only 10 years and he's gone. And now she's got this kid that she has raised. I don't know if you can call it raised, provided for. She has this child who knows her so well, to see that maybe Frieren has been working on correcting the mistakes she made. Before I forget, because I was thinking about this the other day, when you're doing a fight scene or you have a magic system, you want your audience to be able to play an active role in the fight scene. And I love that this magic system, though it's so soft, the one rule is visualization. Now the audience can play a part in the fight scenes. We can pretend to be a part of it. We can guess what can happen next. It's a magic system that is very reliant on knowing the characters, knowing what they can imagine. Building relationships was what started the story, and building relationships has been what has solved every problem, every issue, every fight in this story. I mean, you know, not everyone, the small ones. But if you think about it, Frieren versus Frieren, that was solved because Fern knows Frieren. And Frieren versus, oh, I keep forgetting her name, Aura. Aura? Yeah. Frieren versus Aura is solved because Frieren knows Aura. Stark versus the demon who could mimic his master was solved because Stark knows his master. He knows his fighting style. He knows the weight behind each swing. You can't tell me this show isn't beautiful. It's just so warm and cozy. And humanity craves relationships. I understand how someone can look at all of this, look at the lulls in between fight scenes and think it's boring, think the mundane is drab. Nobody wants to watch the hero's party try to earn enough money so they can buy snacks. But to that, I ask, is it not the mundane that adds to the world building, that adds to the characters? Is it not the flaws the characters show that makes us love the characters more? We know how the characters act under stress, and we know how they act in a fight. But my question is, what do they do when somebody forgets their birthday? Their mage's staff breaks. How would they react when they lose the last gift their best friend gave them? Are they going to search for it or eventually just give up? Because eventually, you know, all things get lost. It's these moments, it's these lulls in between that make Frieren such an amazing anime. It has everything that is required for a top anime of 2024. It has the action, the adventures, the character that people will inevitably over-sexualize. But it also has everything in between. Overall, I give Freerun Beyond Journey's End a solid 9.5 out of 10. I cannot wait till season 2. Guys, I'm pretty sure we're getting a season 2. This anime is taking over the world. I highly recommend it to literally everybody. It's great. It's beautiful. It's flawless. I want to know your opinions about it, especially for the characters I didn't mention, like Stein. I know someone's going to say something. They're going to be like, what about Stein? So go ahead, comment down below and let me know what you think, who your favorite characters are. I have a Discord server where I do a lot of anime movie nights, watch parties, stuff like that. So I will link it down below. And if you like this video, don't forget to like the video and subscribe because I will be posting more videos very soon. I think that's everything I'm supposed to say. Bye-bye.